I actually didn't see the eclipse at all.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't have the glasses.
So you didn't borrow them from somebody?
I work from home. I didn't even know where to get them. You were out of town because you were seeing the full eclipse in Ohio.
I was going to brag about the full eclipse.
No, but I really remember I was working and then the kid, Lino, had a dentist appointment and then he came in, like, into his dentist appointment with his eclipse glasses. And I was like, oh, man, I missed it.
Oh.
Now I have to wait till 2045.
It's a long wait, hon.
Was it life-changing?
I'm not sure if it was life-changing, but I will say this. So I have a client, and they did their strategic planning retreat in Cleveland because they knew it was in the path of the full eclipse. And I was like, really, we're going to go all the way to Cleveland? Like, there's a shadow. Cool. But then I saw it, and it is really remarkable. I will say it is far cooler than I thought it was going to be.
My colleague said, because he was also in the path.
Mm-hmm.
He said the temperature dropped.
Yeah.
Temperature how much does it drop?
I mean, not. I mean, it got cooler and I went and put a coat on. I would say maybe 10 degrees, something like that, 5 degrees.
Cool.
But we were like, so we did this strategic planning retreat on the top of the loft of this building, and then, which was cool because it was just our group. And then you could see on all the other buildings, there was just crowds of people drinking, partying. Everybody's throwing drones up.
And you had just your group?
Like just this strategic planning group was there.
Oh. Because
they had rented out the top of the building to do the retreat. And so we just walked outside onto the roof.
How cool is that?
The deck on the roof. It was really cool.
I like how they planned that out.
Somebody was for sure. It was, I will say, this side note, it was a very well-organized retreat as far as, like, when dinners were and all that kind of stuff. They had it together.
They had party planner.
And I didn't even, like, track what was happening. I'm like, oh, this is an interesting place to do the actual meeting in the top of this random building. Why not do it at the hotel? The reason is because of the retreat or because of the eclipse. So, like, at 3:30, we all went outside and then could watch the eclipse.
Very cool.
It was cool.
I heard good things, and the kids were super excited about it. But we have lots to talk about because we went on vacation.
Can I say one more thing about the eclipse? Yes. I'm thinking of it, which I thought was cool. So I love hobbyists, right? And there were a lot of photographers out there. And there was some guy, and he's, like, throwing up a bunch of drones. And I'm like, why? Like, this is an unobstructed view of the sun. Why do you need a drone? Are you really getting that much closer to the sun with a drone? And the reason is they don't take a picture of the eclipse. They take a picture of the city behind the eclipse. So because of the amount of filtering that happens on the way to the full eclipse, it gets super orange. And so there's really cool photography of, like, the buildings and stuff that are impacted by that.
Cool.
That is cool.
That is cool. Yeah, well, we have had a lot since our last shrink wrap. We went on, vacation. We had Easter.
We went on vacation to the DR, which is wonderful.
I did another catch this year.
Oh, I didn't do you usually get an Instagram reel out of your catch.
No, you didn't do it, but I did a new trick with my catch.
She did a trick where she, like, does the splits over the bar.
Yep.
It's kind of seductive.
For sure. But I did make the catch. And Enzo and Lino also qualified for the catch.
Mm-hmm.
Lino didn't quite catch.
Yeah. It's good, though.
Yeah. So it was good. Recommend it.
And we come back, and you've already got we land from the Dominican Republic, and within 12 hours, we have 20 people at our house for Easter.
That was an error. I thought there was, like, a day between when we got back and Easter. No.
She says it's an error, but the whole time she was going, I'm a hero. I'm a hero. I'm a hero.
It's so funny. I listened to Rachel Hollis's podcast this week about, like, manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to embody that and, like, put it out there, put my energy towards I want to be a superhero, and so I'm going to put my energy towards being a superhero.
Why do you listen to Rachel Hollis so much and never me?
I do.
Feel like I always make suggestions. I feel like you really listen to. What does she do that really captures you?
I don't know, but like, if she were to do the Diddy video, it would have turned. I begged David. I was like, "You need to do a video on Puff Daddy or P Diddy in this raid."
Before we jump into the Diddy conversation, I want to thank our sponsor for today's video, Drift.
Oh, I meant to tell you, your car smells so nice.
Mm-hmm. Teak. Now, as you heard from Allison there, we are very pleased to have this video sponsored by Drift because they have dramatically improved the fragrance in my car. Historically, it wasn't always great. Now it smells like teak. Now it smells like a place you want to be. When I think about air fresheners, I usually think about those little trees that are made out of paper that smell terrible, and they definitely don't look good aesthetically. Drift is the opposite of that. It looks very professional, very clean. It fits the car well. So what they send you is something that holds the fragrance. So it can be wood, it can be stone, it can be metal, but it's sleek, low profile like this. And then they give you a clip, which you put on your visor. And then I take the scent, and there's a magnet that latches it to the bottom of that. For Drift's car care products, the price ranges between $9 and $15, so it's very affordable. And what's really cool about the car fresheners is you can get them on a subscription model. So at the start of the first month, they'll send you a starter pack with the scent and the clip, and then every month you can order, if you want, you can order a new scent. They recommend you do it about every 30 days, and you can, if you want, you can get the exact same scent. So for me, I think I am on, this is teak, number 3, I keep ordering teak because it smells clean. It reminds me of home. I love it. So I keep getting the same scent. Or if you want, you can get a new scent each month. Maybe the best part is because you are a member of the Pop Psych YouTube audience, Drift is offering a 55% discount on your first month. All you have to do is go to drift.co and use the promo code POPPSYCH. With that discount, your first month is under $5. I really recommend you try it out. It allows you to take a much more intentional approach to managing the fragrance in your car. And my wife loves it. Okay, so there's, let's back up. This is not actually our first podcast back. Well, I should say, this is not our first recorded podcast back, but we didn't upload the first one because Allison was so mad at my interpretation of the Diddy situation. So we did it once, and she goes, "You need to direct to the Diddy situation." I go, "Okay, whatever." So I like watch a couple of videos on it, and I go, "Okay, let's go do the podcast." And I thought I was sensible in reaction to it.
No, I went deep on it. I feel like you missed a lot.
But just because I feel like people, I always get this in the comments, like, "Oh, you don't know enough." But does the extra information substantively change the way I would interpret what's happening?
I don't think know. So maybe we just don't like how you interpreted it. But I wanted to know what is getting into these powerful men's mind where they treat people like, where they just objectify people and treat them as objects and not as human beings.
Yeah.
You didn't really like delve into that the way I wanted.
You just did... Okay, so we did a whole podcast, and I thought the whole time we're doing the podcast, I'm thinking, I'm doing a good job of objectively analyzing behavior. In my head, I was had an applause for good job doing that. And then we turned the camera off, and Allison goes, "You cannot put that on the internet." I go, "What? Why not? I thought I sounded good." And she goes, "You absolutely cannot put that on the internet. Absolutely not."
I helped you.
So I listened to Allison, and then a couple days later, I recorded a video reaction to P. Diddy, and I thought I did a better job of more sort of concisely stating my opinion, and Allison watched it and goes, "I didn't like that at all."
It just didn't scratch the itch I was looking for, which is I want a psychologist to get into the brains of these people and explain it away. Like, why do they have entourages that keep them, even Michael Jackson, like, they have people around them that don't put them in their place and tell them, "No, this, what you're doing is wrong." And is it fear? Like, why are they able to, like, surround themselves by yes men that actually enable it? That was what I wanted to know.
Why do you think?
I feel like it's fear. They think, and their relationship is probably like they're getting something out of it. With like P. Diddy is promising a career or something, but mostly fear.
But that's what I said.
But like, and then the other question is like, why is he so bad? Why did he do all this?
I think
I want to know it all.
No, but she doesn't. I think you don't.
I do.
I think you don't, and I think the people on the internet. I think we have a narrative that we like that we want to believe, and so we like I can like you want me to say, or some psychologist, somebody to say, ultimate.
Can you take that out?
No. Right when I'm going to drop a beautiful pearl, you just yawn in my face. You want me to say ultimate or power corrupts. Wait, what is it? What is the saying? Ultimate power corrupts. Unconditional power corrupts unconditionally. That's what you want me to say. You want me to say because he was so wealthy, if you get wealthy like that, you turn into a monster. And you turn into a narcissist, and then it's groupthink. Everybody around you just follows you.
The groupthink is what bothers me.
But what if
why are we conditioned to groupthink?
That's adaptive. That's an easy one. Easy answer. Adaptive.
To just
follow the group. You're safer in numbers.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm never going to be that person. I'm not good at
that. You are that person, Al.
Allison walks around
like the background music in Allison's head when she walks around is like straight out of Indiana Jones. I feel like you think you're walking through like the caves and like screw civilization, but everybody's influenced by it.
That's true. I don't want to be though. Like I want to think of myself like if I were a freak off. Me being like, this is
a freak off of the Diddy freak off.
Yeah.
Well, so can you give a summary of sort of the, what are the data points that you're like, describe, catch people up to the Diddy thing. What are you thinking about when it comes to Diddy?
Okay. Well, there's this woman that just came through on a lawsuit that happened to be one of the, she was like a bartender on the yacht that is now suing Diddy for sex crimes and stuff. And I just want to know, like, she was on the yacht. She saw that he was spiking. Like, she claims that she saw him spiking the cocktails of the women on the yacht. And she did nothing in that moment to protect the women on that yacht. Like, now we're, like, in a lawsuit later. Like, why did nothing happen at the time if you knew it was happening?
If you're on a yacht with Diddy, what was her role on the yacht?
Bartender.
She's a bartender. Mm-hmm. So you're a bartender on a yacht with a bunch of...
Partiers
and top players in the music industry. Did she have other aspirations? Modeling, actress, singer?
I don't know those details, no. But maybe.
But possibly. And even if it wasn't possible that she wanted to be a model, actress, singer, whatever, it's also possible that she would have been unsafe had she pushed back.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that if you're in her situation, you're...
Okay, that was a bad example. I understand hers. Well, I don't, but I do.
But if you were the bartender, you'd have been like, stop, everybody stop.
He would not have hired me. I would be the wrong hire.
Why?
I could not deal with all that.
You wouldn't like the freakathons?
No, I would not like freak-offs, freakathons. No, but but like all the celebrities that were also on the yacht who may not be as powerful as Diddy, but were probably A-list celebrities. Mm-hmm. Why did they turn the other way?
Well, what do you think? I'm trying to think.
This is my question to you.
But I feel like I have a perspective, and you don't like the perspective.
So why did Cuba Gooding Jr. not say tell people it was wrong.
I think Cuba Gooding Jr., I believe, has been accused some. I don't think he was a complicit bystander. I think he was an actor. So I think he was a bad actor. I think he engaged. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think he's probably not a good example for the debate. Okay. If you think about like the average, the question is like, can we just set the stage a little bit here, right? So Diddy has had multiple women.
Diddy Diddles.
Diddy's had multiple women accuse him of sexual assault from like back in the 90s, because there was a rule in New York where the statute of limitations was held. And so women came forward. I think there was three or four of them that came forward. His ex-girlfriend came forward. And then all of a sudden there was this sort of cascade of people saying, yeah, the guy's a nightmare. And then one of his, I don't know if it was a bodyguard or an assistant or something. I think it was an assistant, Little Rod, right?
Mm-hmm.
Side note, world's worst rapper name, Little Rod.
You'd want to be Big Rod.
I'd be, yeah, Thick Rod.
Double Rod.
Double Rod. Long Rod. Anyway, Little Rod goes, hey, this guy's a nightmare, right? He killed somebody. There's underage girls here. There's sex trafficking. The drug use is out of control, right? And then all of a sudden now there's this sort of overwhelming, you know, wave of accusations about Diddy. So in your question, I think everybody's question is, again, I should just say this. We don't know whether or not he did anything. Right, we just know he was accused of a lot of things. But when you're accused of this many things, and the feds are breaking into all of your houses with tanks, it feels like there's something there,
mm-hmm.
right? So the question is, why did he do it?
Well, and there's reverse blackmail, because there's cameras in every single room of his house.
Uh-huh.
Oh. So that could be one of the reasons why people, like, maybe they were there.
Okay, so there's
not bad actors, but complicit actors or whatever.
So the question is, why did he do it? Like, is it something wrong with Diddy? Is it the wealth? What's the dynamic that set him up to end up this way?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other question is, all the other people that were complicit or that were there, are they complicit?
Mm-hmm.
And you and I disagree on to the extent to which they're responsible for Diddy's behavior. I think that's why you're mad at me about it.
I do too. I feel like some of them, like if all these things are coming out saying there was underage girls
mm-hmm.
over and over again
mm-hmm.
and it was known,
mm-hmm.
then I feel like, why did we even have the hashtag MeToo movement? Because that was like a big movement in Hollywood, but then like he got ignored. Like all those people ignored that. Happening all simultaneously.
I vehemently agree with you. Can I vehemently agree? I totally agree with you that the people, I think that the people in Hollywood, I think a lot of people in Hollywood are incredibly insincere when it comes to these sort of public movements. Yeah, so you're right that it's not consistent to be wearing the Me Too tag or the Me Too whatever silver ribbon in 2016 and also be attending the freak off parties and be like this. I agree with you. And I think a lot, that's the problem with Hollywood, is that so much of it is performative. I think you can't take them seriously. Mm-hmm. Like I agree with all of that, but I don't know if you can look at Ashton Kutcher and go, there's a lot of pictures with Ashton Kutcher and Diddy, and go, Ashton Kutcher, you were complicit in this, or that you knew about this, or that there was groupthink and you were therefore participating in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I feel like you want to say all those people, Ashton Kutcher.
I don't Prince know. William. I mean, I don't know. Prince William wasn't there, David. Get it right. It was Prince Harry.
Oh, sorry.
I actually do think Prince William, but that was, no, it's not. I think it's not. It's more like, Jay-Z or Beyonce. You know, Beyonce is big women's power.
Yeah.
You know, it's like those women. I don't know the I don't know the ancillary people that, like, you know, I didn't know Ashton Kutcher was there, but, or like, I feel like Usher. Like, Usher was like, he went on Howard Stern and was like, oh, yeah, I'd never have my kids there.
Okay, like, but Usher's a good example because Usher was a kid. He was underage. Usher was like 16 staying at Diddy's house looking for a music career.
Right. So he should, if he was abused, I feel like he of all people should have stopped it.
At 16?
No, he's not 16 anymore.
He wasn't joining the freak-offs when he was older.
He's just holding it in.
You think he should go? So I guess that's the, so you're thinking Usher is now, so essentially Usher sees some horrific things that he shouldn't see mm-hmm. by his own admission at 16 as he's trying to build his career. And you're looking at it and going, hey, Usher, now that you're 40 years old, you should go back and hold Diddy accountable for the behaviors you saw.
Right. I don't know if okay, maybe not Usher, but I'm like trying to understand. Someone needed to hold him accountable and no one did.
I agree with you, but I guess this is.
What about, okay, here's a good, I know who should have held him accountable.
Who?
His chief of staff, KK. She should have held him accountable. Because I feel like she was the biggest enabler.
Is KK like a Ghislaine Maxwell though?
Yes.
So she's more than complicit. She's a bad actor also.
She's a bad actor, yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying, and I think the reason why people, I feel like I keep getting pushback on this, like I'm, like people think I'm giving everybody a pass. I'm not. I'm just saying we have to be, there's nuance in everybody's behavior. There's nuance in the reason why they do what they do and how they do what they do and the level of risk that they would have to take to raise a flag, especially when they're not actively involved in it or don't actively see it, right? They're, like, I'm sure from what I've read, it was, they were these, you know, these white parties or whatever felt normal. And then, you know, the clock would strike 12 or strike one or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, crazy behavior started happening. And, you know, he was, did you read about him paying male prostitutes to come in? Mm-mm. He's paying male prostitutes to come in to sleep with women, and then he's walking around watching everybody. Like, it turns into this, like, just a crazy environment.
Okay, and but I understand the crazy. Okay, so then that happens, and it turns into crazy, and they all go home, and they're like, that was fine.
But I think you're, again, they're not right, but imagine if you're there, and you're sitting there, and we're like, man, I sure hope we make it someday in the music industry, and I'm so excited that I made it to the white party. This is a big deal. We're all dressed in white. We're all fancy. And all of a sudden, you see some porn star coming in, sleeping with some girl and Diddy's watching, or sleeping with some guy and Diddy's watching it. Are you going to stand up to all of that happening around you and just blow the whistle and go, everybody knock it off? Like, what are you going to
do? That's not the things that bother me. Like, I don't care about the orgy part. I care about, like, the underage people that are now going to live with trauma the rest of their lives. And and it was known that they were underage.
That's part of, so again, like, I feel like I'm sitting here defending, I'm not defending Diddy. Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree with you that if people knew that there were underage girls there, then they're absolutely responsible. But what I don't think is clear based on what we know is who knew and how many people were aware of that.
Do you think that there were some people that knew that there were underage girls there? And so then if, like, those people, I'm not saying everybody, but I do you think some of those people should have held him accountable?
Yes.
Because that's the thing is, I feel like, yes, not everybody knows. But I think there were a lot of people that did.
Maybe. And if they knew, then they're absolutely culpable. I guess what I'm pushing back on you on, and the reason why we keep fighting about it is, I think that culpability there's a reason. I think the narrative is that everybody in Hollywood is sick. Everybody that comes from this level of wealth is sick. And so when you get them all together in a house, they all become corrupted, looking for some kind of stimulation, and they all default to this perverted style of interaction that includes, you know, underage sex trafficking, you know, this like obscene drug use, the you're objectifying people. I think that's the narrative, and I don't believe that that's true. And I guess that's what I'm just advocating for, a more discerning look at it, to go, first of all, we have no idea really what happened, but there was probably, I think, a lot of different things going on and different levels of awareness of the dynamics. And so for the news to go, all of these people were involved and knew what was happening and they're doing it because it's groupthink, I just don't think that that's the right, I don't think it's a nuanced view. And I think this requires nuance. Allison, I can just tell you right now, the camera's going to turn off and Allison's going to tell me, can we still use this podcast if I feel that way?
I feel like you keep wanting to shoehorn like the A-list actors. I'm like saying, why did Diddy do this? He had an inner circle that enabled him to do this. All the people, what's his name that killed himself? Epstein. Like, why? My question is, why they all had inner circles that helped enable their actions. They didn't do it themselves. Why are they able to do this?
The people, first of all, the perpetrators. So the Epstein's of the world, the Diddy's of the world, I feel very strongly were broken. They were sick. People before they were wealthy. Mm-hmm. I promise you, Diddy had, if these accusations are true, a healthy person does not become a pedophile. The chances of that are so slim. If you are a pedophile, the data is overwhelming. Likely, you had some kind of traumatic event happen to you. Mm-hmm. I think that Diddy grew up in a very traumatic environment. And my guess was he grew up in a very unsafe environment, an environment where he had no power, no personal agency, no resources. I think he was probably victimized. And so for him, I think his whole life has been designed around getting back the power, retaining control. I think for him, sex is power, money is power, maneuvering people is power. And so it's led to this perversion that we see. The fact that the perversion led to these sick parties, these freak-off parties, is because it was left unchecked. The average person can't use money to maneuver people. The average person can't use money to push off the authorities. The average person can't access the things that he can access. So what it looks like is more extreme, but Diddy is the same as the pedophile down the street that was mistreated as a child and now shows up in this distorted way.
Yeah.
Like that, I think that, I would argue strongly that view is probably, at least it makes the most sense. It does not make sense to me that you have a healthy, high-functioning person that has no psychological trauma, and then you give him $1 billion, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, let's start sex trafficking minors. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of very wealthy, healthy people that never perpetrate like this.
Yeah.
I feel like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I was just thinking about Diddy's kids. Like, did they experience trauma or now, because they're also in trouble? Are they just modeling behavior?
I think growing up in that environment is traumatic.
Yeah.
Seeing, I mean, you're talking about, he's accused of murder, sex trafficking minors, I don't know about peddling drugs, but rampant drug use and erratic behavior. I mean, they've been exposed to sex at a very early age. Like I would argue that they have been totally traumatized, and their relationship with money, power, sex is totally disordered as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But well, I feel like that doesn't scratch the itch that you're wanting. I don't know what you're wanting. I keep thinking, like, I don't know what to say so that you go, that makes sense.
That does make sense. I still wonder, like, the A-list people that didn't need Diddy's support that hung out with him. Like, wouldn't there be a lot of red flags? Like, where you wouldn't want to be around it? Like, it seems like there would have been a lot of red flags for them to be like, this isn't for me. But they were around it. So I think just understanding why these other people wanted to be there, be part of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I do think they are complicit. My gut reaction would be that I think the people around him were either financially dependent on him, they were scared of him, they had the reverse blackmail, right? That they allowed something to go that they thought was relatively minor, and then they're sort of locked in because, you know, there's tapes of them. I mean, that was, I keep reading about that being, that was the reason why they raided his houses, right, was to look for all those videotapes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, is, why has the Epstein list not come out?
Powerful people.
Right. The part where the authorities like seem to comply is very concerning.
Yeah.
But they got the tapes from Diddy, hopefully. But I think you have people that were super ambitious and super narcissistic around him that were just looking out for themselves and then turned a blind eye, denied what was happening, or I think were so fearful.
Yeah.
I think there's a group of people that fall into those buckets. And yes, they are complicit. They're responsible for their behavior. I agree with all that. But I just think it's different than the group that's actively, what's the TT or whatever the person, who is it? Who's the woman that's like
KK?
KK. You know, I think you have to view KK different than Joe Blow that shows up.
It's so crazy.
I feel like you've lost interest in this. Are you ready for, are you sleepy now?
No, I haven't. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. More things are going to come.
I'm not meeting your needs.
I just want a psychologist to talk to me more about Diddy's psyche. Calling on a friend.
I'm out of like psychological tidbits. That's all I got.
Okay, so guess what else? You know, Kat from the Crystal Ball, or Kate from a Crystal Ball. Without a crystal ball. Yeah. So going back to Sister Wives, it sounds like he was like really reaching out to people before he passed away.
Garrison was?
Garrison.
Yeah, she put out a video. You and I heard it together. She put out a video that was
in depth.
And I don't know. I mean, Without a Crystal Ball gets a lot of flack on the internet for not always being accurate. And so I don't listen to her, but I've listened to this one video. It seemed like she was pretty diligent about collecting the data. So to whatever extent that data that she has is accurate, it sounds like they knew he was very depressed. It sounds like he had a significant drinking problem.
Yeah.
It sounds like
he was reaching out.
I don't know if he was reaching. Why do you think he was say more about that? You think he was reaching out?
Because he texted people that he texted people before he did it. So it seems like he was reaching out.
Are you worried about saying committed suicide?
Yeah.
I feel like you won't say Garrison's name, and you keep like shying away from saying committed suicide.
Because that's incorrect. I've been told.
Yes. But I think it's let me just say this. I think that in the PC world, it's more sensitive to say died by suicide or completed suicide. And I honestly, I think it matters very little. And I think it matters more that people are able to talk freely about it than to say things, quote unquote, the right way. The people, most of the people that are frustrated by the wrong language are not the audience. They're not the people that you're worried about hurting, right? You're worried about hurting people that have had someone around them that has died by suicide.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that there's a lot of evidence that those are the people that really suffer when you use the wrong word.
Yeah.
So yes, people will get mad at you if you say committed suicide, but a lot of people say committed suicide in it. And
yeah. Died by syntax. Died by, yeah.
Died
and
by
behind
suicide.
The times. So it's really sad.
Can you say, say what you think. Stop worrying about what you're saying.
No, I don't remember what I was saying. I was just saying as more comes out, it just makes me more and more sad.
So, yes, but can I critique what Katie put together?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't know why anybody listens to us on Sister Wives. If you could look at the amount of effort and energy she put in, that was a very well done video.
It was, yeah.
Like super thorough. And I'm thinking, I don't know, I have no space to talk because I've done not a tenth of the research that she has. What I didn't like about it, I guess I have a couple of thoughts. Yes, he reached out to people, right? So Katie has text messages where he reaches out to Janelle and his brothers, Gabe, Garrison, Logan, and somebody else I'm spacing, Hunter, mm-hmm. right? And his dad, Dayton.
And the people from the crew.
And the people from the crew. And, but that can be him saying goodbye. Right, his mom asks if he's safe, and he says, "I know you're worried about it, but I don't have a weapon."
Mm-hmm.
Right, if he was looking for support, he could have said,
"Come get me.
Come get me. I've got a weapon. I need to talk to you." Right, but it could have been a thing where he had made the decision already.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that's an important distinction because the only thing I didn't like about what Katie said is she says, "He reached out to Cody." And Cody didn't respond. He reached out to Dayton and Dayton didn't respond. And, you know, I just wonder what would have happened if Cody had sort of played the correct role as a father and responded to his son. And I struggle with I just feel like now we're placing blame on Cody for it. And I've been very critical of Cody. We've been very critical of Cody. But to me, this is sort of, there's so much more going on as far as his drinking and his depression. And you don't know what the backstory is. It could be that Cody's drawn a line where he's like, I can't respond to him anymore. It could be that Cody didn't see the text message. You know what I mean? The implication that this one moment is the reason, I think, is probably not
fair.
No, it's not fair. It's not fair. And it's not fair about a super significant thing, you know?
Yeah. It's not fair. That's true. It's just interesting. It was interesting to see more of it. So thank you for that video if you guys haven't seen it.
Without a crystal ball.
Yeah.
Is there a latest video?
I don't know if it was. I don't, like, always listen to her, but it popped up. No. Okay, so are you ready to give us some tips?
Tips. I don't have any. I have no tips ready.
I just feel like Rachel Hollis had these really good tips about basically, like, manifesting and putting it out there and putting your energy into putting your energy where you want, like, the direction of your life to go. And what do you think about that? And do you have a tip for that as well? Because, the reason I say that was I was feeling really tired today, but she was saying, like, If you always are saying that you're tired and you're tired and you're tired, then you actually become tired.
Yes.
So I'm not going to say that I'm tired.
What if we do a podcast and I can tell that you're going to fall asleep on the podcast and you're actually yawning while we're talking? Where does that fall in Rachel's?
Not tired.
Not tired.
Need to get up and move. Okay.
No, I'm not tired at all.
Would you like to buy me? Actually, you know that attorney that I listen to, what you're supposed to do when someone says, are you tired? Yes.
What are you supposed to do?
he gave me 3 tips. This, I like him a lot. Okay, ready?
Let me just first say, Allison has...
I love life tips.
Allison has a lot of, I don't know what you call it, directional feedback for the YouTube channel. She would like it to be tip heavy. So everything needs to be a tip. All right, so what is this? So there's some lawyer you follow that gives...
That he gives tips, like how to be assertive and tips. What to say when people say, are you tired?
How about no? What is the answer? What do you say?
That makes it really better, thanks. Or would you like to buy the next coffee?
That's the tip?
He had better ones. I didn't do as well. They're really good.
There was one where it was like, she showed me and she's like, I think I'm in bed reading or something. And Allison hits me and says, listen to this tip for how to deal with conflict. And it was like, what do you do when someone disagrees with you and you want to tell them you disagree?
Yeah.
You say,
I have an opposing view.
See it differently.
I see it differently. Yeah.
But as you as a viewer go like, whoa, that's helpful.
Sometimes you just need someone to give you the words.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Don't you ever just want someone to help you? Like, you can't find, like, what you need to be doing in the moment. So, no?
I think you and I are wired differently. My default is whoever I'm listening to be like, you're stupid. Oh. Which to a fault. Like I talk about, I have a colleague at work, Dana, is like the most sweetest and open-minded person. Like I've seen her be in trainings before where someone comes in and gives a presentation on emotional intelligence. Dana is an absolute expert on emotional intelligence. She did her dissertation on like ethics in the workplace. Like there's no one that knows more about emotional intelligence than Dana. But someone comes in and presents on emotional intelligence, and Dana is like, let me hear more. That's so interesting. I hadn't thought about that like that. Like she's a good person, always learns, whereas I will be like, dumb, moving. I struggle to like have an open mind and act and learn. It's a problem.
I don't feel like you're not open. I feel like you're really open-minded.
If it's in something that I think I know about, then I am very close-minded to a fault. Oh. Like, for example, Rachel Hall says, hey, you should manifest. And like, even as you're saying it, I'm like, I disagree. Even though I really don't disagree, I just like, I struggle to.
But I feel like you are the best at it.
At what?
At manifesting. And like putting it out there, putting your energy into it. Even though you don't think you're doing it, I feel like you definitely do it. That's why I'm asking you for a tip on it. Versus like, if you're always negative or you're always like, that's the way it is, so that's the way it is. then you're not putting your energy into that. And so then you're not going to get what you actually want, you know? You can't just say that you want something. You can't just put it in the air either. You have to put energy into it, is what she's saying.
I have 2 tips.
Okay.
I hope you like these tips.
Okay.
Tip one. I think I may have 3 tips. Hold on. Tip one is I think you need to have hubris in everything you do. And I think that in society, we view hubris as a negative thing. But I think you need to have a distorted sense of who you are and what you can accomplish. I think people that have hubris, they're more likely to try new things. They're likely to be more resilient when they face criticism or failure. They'll put themselves into more difficult situations. Mm-hmm. And they're more likely to move an idea into an action.
Okay. I like that.
How does that rank? How does that do on your tip scale?
That's good.
All right. Tip 2 is you have to move. If you have a goal or you don't even know what your goal is, movement is better than not moving. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate when people go, I'm just working on myself. Well, what are you doing? I'm just eating bonbons and watching TV.
I had a colleague that always told me, I'm just doing a lot of work. on myself. I'm just like, I'm finding a lot of stuff out. And I'd be like, really? Like, because I think maybe I'm a little like Dana. I'm like, oh, like I need to be finding stuff out. Like I am really dropping the ball on doing the work on myself.
Yes, that you are like that. And no one ever goes like, well, wait a second. Do share, what does that work look like? Right? If working on yourself means that you're going to a therapist and you're starting a workout regimen and you're trying, you know, you're in culinary school at night, then I'm good with it. I don't care what it is. So I do think that the default should be when you're trying to move things forward is to show action every day. Even if the action is in the wrong direction, it's easier to pivot than it is to start. So we should immediately always start. Start now and pivot versus ruminating and working on yourself before you try something.
Yeah. Okay. What's the third one?
I think I forgot the last tip. That's it.
Okay.
I feel like those not rank up on the Rachel Hollis tip scale.
I think you have the potential...
to be as good as that lawyer
and also as good as Rachel Hollis. But I think you need to start with the tip and then we carry the tip throughout the podcast.
It's feeling very sexual with the tip. Right,
David?
Well, when we say that, all the I feel like we need to get merch that says start with the tip.
It.
You said it. I didn't say it. They're going to hear it.
All
right.
Cut that out.
I'm not cutting that out.
You're so gross.
So, okay. So how about here? Let me just try this one on. Al, I have a tip for you. Do you want to know how to accomplish things in your life? Start by moving first and then pivot. End scene. Is that motivating? I know. I don't run into the tip thing. I feel like these are silly. Right?
No. I like tips.
All right. Why don't you have a tip?
I'm not the psychologist. I'm here to learn.
Okay. So what was Rachel's thing that you need to manifest?
Just like putting it out. Just putting it. You can't just put it out there. You have to put energy into it and really go after it. You can't just throw it out there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Like I think, last tip is I agree that, sometimes you never know if you're going to get lucky. Here's my last tip. You never know if you're going to get lucky, but you should actively put yourself in the position to get lucky. Like you should be thinking about what do I want and how can I prepare myself so that if something happens, I'm ready.
Yeah.
This is why, one of the reasons why I started doing this, YouTube, was like, I want to have a larger voice and I need to acquire the skills to speak and to be on camera, right? And so I feel like I am better prepared now if I had the opportunity to be on camera than I would have 3 years ago. And I think in 3 years from now, I'll be better. And if something happens where I have the opportunity to have a wider audience, people will go, oh, well, he was lucky because he got this opportunity. And I would be like, no, but I spent the last 5 years working at this thing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's a good point.
I feel like you don't like my tips. I work really hard at my tips and you're not into them.
I thought your tip was good.
The first tip is put yourself in the position to be lucky.
Yep.
Do something. It's easier to pivot than it is to start.
Mm-hmm.
And have hubris.
Yep. Think you can. Here's fourth tip.
Okay.
Catch yourself from being Eeyore.
I'm going to respond to that tip like you do. Oh, that's okay. That's, I guess that's good. I guess that counts as a tip.
Don't be Eeyore.
I do think that is a good tip.
Yeah.
To not be Eeyore. Mm-hmm. To have energy about it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, back to Rachel Hollis real quick, is I think the idea of manifesting is silly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think manifesting works because it leads people to show energy in the direction of the thing that they want. And that puts them in a better position.
So then why is it silly?
Well, don't call it manifesting. You're not man, like the idea that's manifesting is that you put it out there and the universe gives it to you. It's like inherently passive. It's given to you by the universe.
So we need a new word.
It's just,
you're energizing.
Okay, you're energizing.
You're not manifesting, but you're energizing. Yeah,
the universe isn't just giving you stuff. You are creating the environment that leads to the thing you want.
Yeah. Okay, I like it.
All right, I love you.
Love you.
So what do you think I did? I think Allison's still not happy with my Diddy interpretation, my Diddy reaction, but I did my best. Before you go, I want to thank Drift for sponsoring this video. Please check them out. Follow the link below, drift.co, and use the promo code POPSYCH. I really recommend it. Thanks for listening.